Welcome to Gemara Makings. Today's shiur is Avodah Zarah Daf Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous shiur, we left off in the middle of a give and take between the Umos HaOlam and the Almighty on the Yom HaDin. The Umos HaOlam, the nations of the world, were claiming that they didn't have a chance to mekabel the Torah as Klal Yisrael was mekabel. What do we mean by that? That even though the Kodesh Baruch Hu offered it to the Goyim and they seemed to reject it, nevertheless, they were never given the incentive that the Jewish people were given, namely the mountain hoisted over their heads and being threatened with destruction if they would not receive the Torah. That took place with Klal Yisrael, as the Pasuk indicated, by Yisyatzfu Betachti Sahar, but the nations of the world weren't provided with such an incentive. So to this the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, well, okay, what about the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach? Were you ever Mekayim those? And we see that they were not Mekayim the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. As a result of their not being Mekayim the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, we saw a brisa at the bottom of Daf Beis, Amid Beis, which concluded with the expression, Omad v'hitiron lehen. That seemed to be an odd deal, where since they weren't Mekayim the 7 Noahide laws, they then became unobligated to Mekayim them, to fulfill them. So rather, the Gemara concluded at the top of Gimel, Amid Aleph, at which point our shiur picks up from now. The conclusion the Gemara attempted to reach was that even if they do try to fulfill the 7 Noahide mitzvahs, nevertheless, they will not receive reward. To this, we open up with the Gemara on the second line from the top with a question. Is that really so? V'loy? V'hotanya. But we have a Tanaic source, and in this Tanaic source, we see that the Gentiles, the idol worshippers, if they fulfill the Torah, they do get reward. The source, and you can see, appears in a frame. In our marking system, all Tanaic literature is framed off to set it aside from the rest of the Gemara literature. The Brisa says, Hoya Rabbi Meir Omer, Minayin Shafilu Ovei Kechovim, V'oiseg V'Torah, Shehu Kekoin Gadol. From where do we know that even an idol worshipper, but he engages in the pursuit of Torah, that he is viewed as a high priest, as a Kohen Gadol? Talmud Lomar, Asher Yase Oisam Ha'odom V'chai Bohem. Kohenim Leviim V'Yisrael Lo Ne'amar Elo Ha'odom. In this pasuk it says that praise be the one who does them, who fulfills the Torah. And it says, Ha'odom, as we've dashed underlined. Who fulfills the Torah? A man. It doesn't delineate the different segments of Klal Yisrael, of the Jewish people, Kohanim, Levim, Yisrael, but rather the Pasuk uses a more general term, man, seeming to indicate mankind. So the source goes on and says, Ha'olam Adatah, from here we learn, Shafilu Oivei Kechavim, even if we're speaking about an idol worshipper, for Oisek B'Torah, and he's engaged in the pursuit of Torah, Harehu Kekoyin Gadol, he is viewed as a high priest, as a very lofty individual. So how can you tell me that even if they are Mekayim, the Sheva Mitzvahs, the 7 Noahide laws, that they do not receive reward? Here we see that they are deemed quite praiseworthy, obviously then warranting reward, if they engage in the Torah. Ella. So we are now, as you can see, there is a number 2 This is the second attempt to explain what the Braisa meant when it said Omad v'hitiran lohen. So what does this mean? Ela loymar loch she'ein mekablin aleim schar kimitzuva v'yose ela kimi she'eino mitzuva v'yose. This informs us that even though they get reward according to the rate of those who fulfill, even though they're unobligated. But they don't receive the higher rate of reward that is characteristic of those who do so out of obligation. The Omar Rabbi Chanina, Godol HaMetzuva V'Yoseh, Yoseh Misheinu Metzuva V'Yoseh. Greater, more praiseworthy is the one who is commanded and fulfills, more so than the one who is not commanded and nevertheless fulfills. The Tosfos offers an explanation. Godol hamitzuvi oise pirush v'pnei shu doyeg tomid levatel yitzro ulekayim mitzvas boro. The one who's commanded to fulfill something and in fact fulfills it is doing so with a, we'll say, a greater sense of dedication, because he is up against his evil inclination that is constantly telling him, don't fulfill. And nevertheless, he does fulfill, so he's doing so, not only fulfilling the mitzvah, but he's also fighting against the Yetzer Hara in order to enable him to mekayim it. And for that, one is deemed more praiseworthy when he is mitzvah v'yoseh. As we see in our markings, we have a triangle, and it's called triangle number 4, as you can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. Since we're encountering a series indicator in the middle of the series, it behooves us to go back to review what these triangles were here for. And you'll find at the bottom of Beis Amud Beis a Mivne note in the outside margin featuring a triangle, and we've written in there Nisyonos, attempts, Levarer Mahi Tainus Hagono Shel Hagoyim. What is the defense claim, the claim that the idol worshippers make in their defense to the Almighty on the Day of Judgment? The last attempt of theirs was to claim, did you provide us a sufficient incentive to mekabel the Torah? But to that, the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, but you weren't even mekayim the original 7 mitzvahs. So that it's unlikely that they would be pleading their case on the basis of their not having been given a sufficient incentive to receive the entire Torah, which it comprises 613 mitzvahs, when even in the attempt to fulfill the 7 basic Noahide laws, they were unsuccessful. Ela, kach oimrim hoivdek yechovim ufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather, thusly, they say to the Almighty on the Day of Judgment, Ribbono shel Olam, Yisrael, shekibluha heichon kaimuha. If you're claiming that the Jews are the ones to be victorious and amass the great reward on the Day of Judgment, but where do we ever find that the Jewish people themselves were mekayim the Torah? Omar lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. With our markings, and we do this often in our marking system, to keep track of a back and forth in a discussion, we squiggle underline the different speakers. So as you scan down the next few lines, you'll notice a few times the squiggle underline appears underneath the speaker when the speaker changes. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu says to the Goyim, Ani meyed bohem shekaimu es haTorah kula. I will bear testimony that they fulfilled all of the Torah. So the nations of the world respond, Ribbono shel Olam, Almighty, Klum Yesh Av Shemeid Al Bano, is there a father that testifies on behalf of his son? A father is considered unfit to offer testimony on behalf of his own son. And where do we see that Klal Yisrael is viewed as the son of the Kodesh Baruch Hu? Tichtiv Bini B'chayri Yisrael, my son, the firstborn, Israel. Omar lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu, realizing that he can't offer himself as a witness, so he suggests Shemayim Varetz Ya'idu Bohem Shekayim Olesa Torah Kula. Let heaven and earth testify regarding the Jews that they fulfilled the Torah. Omer Lefonov So the nations of the world respond, Ribbono Shalom, Shamayim Baretz, Noigin Beidusan. The heavens and the earth have a vested interest in the Jews having fulfilled the Torah. And one who is Nogea Beidus, meaning a vested interest, he is unfit to testify. We have a brackets that appears in the Gemara. The purpose of the brackets is to, for skipping purposes, to maintain the sense of the give and take of the speakers in this particular passage. As you can see, right after the bracketed section, Omar Lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mikem Yavo V'Yo'idu Bohan B'Yisrael Shekim Lesetara Kula. He responds after hearing that Shemayim V'Oretz are considered tainted in their ability to testify, in that they have a vested interest. So Kodesh Baruch Hu offers, let some Gentiles themselves come and testify on behalf of the Jews that they fulfill the Torah. Within the bracketed section, we have this. We have the proof that Shemayim V'Oretz are considered having a vested interest in the Jewish peoples fulfilling the Torah. With all that having been said, we'll now go through the bracketed section. Shenemar, the Pesuk will teach us that the Shemayim V'Oretz are Nogea Beidus, as it says, Im loi brisi yoimam v'layla, chukai Shemayim V'Oretz lo samti. The expression brisi yoimam v'layla is a reference to the Torah. And it's Pesuk is saying, if not for the Torah, the laws of nature governing the heavens and the earth, I would not maintain. In other words, that in the absence of the fulfillment of the Torah, the world would not continue to exist. And as a result, the Shemayim V'Oretz are very interested to, in order to maintain their own existence, they are very interested in the Jewish people fulfilling the Torah. The Omar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, my dechtiv, vayera vayvoker yoim hashishi. What's the significance of the hay in this pasuk? Whereas on the other days of creation, the pasukim talk about yom revi'i, yom hamishi. They don't say yom horevi'i or yom hachamishi. Why here does it say with a hay? The Rashi points this out. On the beginning of the narrow lines, hey dashishi yisera, the letter hey of the word hashishi is extra. The kosva b'soif ma'isav reishis l'drosha zu, and it's written toward the end of the creation days for the following drosha. V'hochi mashma v'hi erev v'boker yom hashishi. The day, it's a reference to a special sixth day, a sixth day in the future. Shel shisha b'sivan shasidin misura l'kabel haTorah, a reference to the date on which the Jews accepted the Torah, on the sixth day of the month of Sivan. Continuing in the Gemara, Melame, the Pesuk teaches us, the Yom Hashishi teaches us, Shehisna Kodesh Baruch Hu Maisiv Reishis V'Yomar. The Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, made a deal, made a condition with the Shemayim, with the Maisiv Reishis, with the entire creation, and said, Im Yisrael Mekablas Es Torah Simutav. If the Jewish people accept my Torah, then good. Ve'im lav ani achzir eschem l'toyah v'vohu. And if they don't accept my Torah, then I will restore you to the state of pre-creation, the state of tohu v'vohu. Ve'omar Chizkia, my dechtiv, mishamayim hishmata din eretz yora v'shokata. The Pesuk uses the word yora and shokata. Yora means trembling, and shokata means quiet. So im yara lama shakta, if it was trembling, so why, what's this reference to peace? Im shakta, and if it was at peace, lama yara, so what's the reference to the trembling? Ela b'tchila yara, at the beginning, before there was Kabbalah Satara, the creation was in a state of state of trembling, of worry, namely, will they mekabel the Torah? And if they don't, we will cease to exist. Ulubasof, and upon at the end, when the universe saw that the Jewish people accepted the Torah, Shokta, it became quieted and regaining a sense of peace. From that bracketed section, we see that the Shemayim Varetz, without the Jews being mekabel the Torah, they would cease to exist. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot call upon them to testify that the Jews were mekayim the Torah. Omar lohem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mikem yavo v'yoidu bohem b'Yisrael shi kimu es haTorah kula. I'm going to call upon people, individuals from you, from the Gentiles of the world, that will testify that the Jews were mekayim the Torah. We see the use of a double underline, one of our series markings. You can see these double underlinings have in it, it's a double underline with dots to set it apart from the double underlining found in a previous sukya on Daf Beis Amid Beis. So we see here a series, and we've noted this on the side as well under our Mivneh heading, Sidra Shel Goyim, a series of Gentiles, Shevo V'Yidu Shisrael Kimu Es HaTorah, that will come and testify that the Jewish people fulfilled the Torah. And we're saying all of this, of course, as a response to the Goyim, to the Gentiles who challenged God in saying that if you have a claim against us as having not fulfilled your commandments, well, the Jews themselves weren't Mekayim your commandments, and we will now see numerous Gentiles testifying on behalf of the Jews that they were Mekayim the Torah. If you use the markings to skim ahead, you can see that we will be hearing testimony from Nimrod, from Lavan, from the wife of Potiphar, from Nebuchadnezzar, Daryovesh, Beldad Hashuchi, all of these people testifying on behalf of the Jews. Yovoi Nimrod, V'yoid V'avrom, Shalom Ovad Avodas Kochavim. Let Nimrod, who was the king at the time of Avraham's being thrown into the furnace, the fiery furnace, and in refusal to bow down to idols. So let Nimrod testify on behalf of Avraham that he did not participate in idol worship. Yovo Lavan ve'id b'Yankiv shelo nechshad al ha'gezel. Let Lavan come forth and testify about Yankiv Avinu, that he, Yankiv, was free of theft. Tavoy Eshes Potiphar, the Ta'id B'Yosef Shalonechshad al Avira. Let the wife of Potiphar, who attempted to seduce Yosef HaTzadik, and he avoided her attempts, indicating that he was not in suspicion of inappropriate behavior. Yovo Nebuchadnezzar, V'yoyid b'chananim shel Azariah shel ishtachav u'letzelem. Let King Nebuchadnezzar come and testify about these three great righteous ones, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, that didn't bow down to the statue that was set up in honor of Nebuchadnezzar. Yovo Daryovesh, V'yoyid b'Daniel shel obitel es hatfila. Let King Daryovesh come forth and testify about Daniel, that he didn't skip a prayer, that he davened the required three tefillos every day. Yavoi Beldad Hashuchi v'tzofer hanamosi v'alifas hatimni v'yoid ben b'Yisrael shekimu es kol haTorah kula. These are three individuals that are found in the book of Iov, and let them come forth and testify that the Jewish people were mekayim the Torah. Shneimar yitnu eidehem v'yitztaku. This pasuk is being treated here slightly differently than it was on Daf Beis, but nevertheless, it's being understood that Yitnu Eidehem, let these Gentiles come forth and offer their testimony in Vitztaku and justify the Jewish people in their having been Mekayim the Torah. Omru Lefonov. We see a fifth stage now in this discussion or claim offering of the Gentiles to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So they say to the Almighty, Tana lanu meirosh v'nasena. Well, give us the Torah now, and we will fulfill it. Amar lema kadosh baruch hu, shaitim sheba oilam. Fools, he says, Misha Torah be'erev Shabbos, yircha b'Shabbos. He who troubled himself on the eve of Shabbos, on Friday, he will have what to eat on Shabbos. Misha lo Torah be'erev Shabbos, he who doesn't trouble himself to prepare on the eve of Shabbos for Shabbos, meichan yircha b'Shabbos. From where will he eat? He won't have anything to eat. Likewise, we're talking right now about the end of days. We're talking about the day of judgment. It's too late to now attempt to fulfill the Torah. That was something you could have tried earlier, but now it's too late. That's what's mentioned. That's what's indicated by this well-known expression of Mi Shatarch Berev Shabbos Yoicha B'Shabbos. Ela Afal Pikein. Here the Kodesh Baruch Hu bends backwards, so to speak, and says, nevertheless, mitzvah kalo yeshli, I have an easy mitzvah to fulfill, a light mitzvah. The Gemara will deal with the term mitzvah kalo with reference to sukkah a little bit later. And he says, I have this mitzvah kalo, v'sukkah shma, l'chuvi asu oisa. Go ahead and fulfill this. And what's being intimated here, that in the merit of fulfilling this rather light mitzvah, you will also merit reward. The Gemara asks, "Umi motzis amris hachi?" Can you really say this? That the Kodesh Baruch Hu is offering them a mitzvah to fulfill and receive reward at this point in time? V'ho Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, my dichtiv, regarding the topic of reward for mitzvah fulfillment. The pasuk says, "Asher onochi mitzavcho hayoyim la'asoysam," and we make an inference here. Hayoyim la'asoysam. Hayoyim is a reference to olam hazeh, the current world. The loy lo mocher la'asoysam, but not tomorrow. A reference to the time after, and the as our Gemara is referring to the day of judgment, which is a time period after olam hazeh. Hayoyim la'asosam, and likewise, we darshan today to fulfill them. V'loi hayoyim litoil schar, and today, namely this world, is not the place for receiving reward. So, as far as we're concerned, the emphasis is placed on the olam hazeh is the time for fulfilling mitzvahs, not l'mochor, not in the next world. And hence, how are we to understand the Kodesh Baruch Hu's offer to fulfill a mitzvah, namely sukkah, when you're dealing with a point in time that's not Olam Hazeh? Ella, She'ein HaKodesh Baruch Hu Bo B'Trunyo Im Riyosav. The Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, does not judge His creations, B'Trunyo, we'll call it, in a hard-handed fashion. In other words, when it comes to judgment, the Kodesh Baruch Hu bends backwards to benefit the ones being judged. V'amai kori lei mitzvah kala. Why was sukkah referred to as a mitzvah kala, as a light mitzvah? Answer: Mishum deles bei chisaron kis. Because in order to fulfill the mitzvah, one does not have to expend any money out of pocket. In other words, the walls and the schach, the branch covering of a sukkah, can be constructed, namely the walls and the branch covering, from materials that are found in Hefker, in the wild. Hence, you have a chance to fulfill a mitzvah without spending any money. Miyad kol echad ve'echad noita v'holech ve'es sukkah b'roish gagoy. Immediately, upon hearing this offer, all the nations go and build a sukkah, b'roish gago, each man on his rooftop. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu makdir aleihem chama b'tkufas tamuz. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu beats down upon them an intense sun, providing intense heat. V'chol echad ve'echad mevayit b'sukkosov yotzei. And each one, after being in this sukkah booth on his roof, in the intense heat, kicks his sukkah and leaves. Shenemar, the pasuk illustrates this idea of casting away mitzvahs. Ninaska es mesrusemo v'nashlicho mimenu avoisemo. The gist of that pasuk has to do with undoing our yoke. The Gemara asks, I don't understand what is meant by the Kodesh Baruch Hu makdir, that he beat the sun down upon him, he caused the sun to shine intensely upon him. But you just got finished saying that the Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't come with a heavy-handed form of judgment against his creatures, against his creations. So why would the Kodesh Baruch Hu take the sun out of its case, so to speak, and have it beat down upon them intensely? The Gemara answers, Mishum d'Yisrael Nami, because with regard to the Jewish people also, situations like this arise. In other words, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is giving them the chance to do mitzvah sukkah under similar circumstances that the Jews were given the mitzvah, under similar circumstances under which the Jews fulfilled the mitzvah. As we just said, sometimes you encounter a very hot day and you're in your sukkah. So, as the Gemara says, Mishum Yisrael Nami Zimni De Moshcha Lehu Tkufas Tamuz Ad Chagah. There are times where the Moshcha means it continues. The summer season continues. The heat season continues, which is referred to, that season is called Tkufas Tamuz. The summer season continues until Chagah, until the holiday. The holiday is a reference to the holiday of Sukkot. V'havi Lehu Tzara. And the Jews have tzar, and as when you have a situation that you're sitting in a sukkah, and the as a result of being in the sukkah, the one is made to feel extremely uncomfortable as a result of the heat, so you have a situation where the Jews are also confronted by a hot sukkah experience. The Gemara asks, but if that be the case, there's no mitzvah in fulfilling sukkah under circumstances of tzar. The Omar Rova mitzvah poter min sukkah. One who is bitzar, one who is in a state of extreme discomfort as a result of being in the sukkah, is actually exempt from being in the sukkah. So why are we intimating that the Gentiles who left their sukkah were doing something wrong? There's nothing wrong with leaving a sukkah under circumstances where there is intense outdoor heat. So the Gemara explains, the claim against the Gentiles is as follows. Nihinda Potter, granted that one is exempt, however, Be'uti mi miviti, the Jewish people, when they are exempt and have to leave the sukkah, do they kick their sukkah? They don't. And that's why in our markings on Omer Aleph, when the Gemara presented the story regarding the Goyim, three lines from the bottom, we saw the Goyim, the Gentiles, mevayit, each one was mevayit b'sukkoso, he left the sukkah but also gave it a kick. We see something, we see a lesson here, a moral teaching, a Musar Haskil here, that the ultimate day of judgment, the ultimate judgment that will fall upon, we'll call it the negative judgment that will fall upon the idol worshippers, this will be a result of not actual mitzvah fulfillment, but rather attitude. The attitude issue is what plays the role. And this, of course, the issue of attitude in the realm of mitzvah fulfillment has very, very broad ramifications, where you find the Torah itself claims that the tochacha, the series of curses that could befall the people is a result of tachas asher lo avadata es Hashem Elokecha besimcha uvetuv levov. The lack of simcha in the fulfillment of mitzvahs, the lack of joy in the fulfillment of mitzvahs, that itself could be grounds for great curses to befall lo aleinu, those who are guilty of that. So here too you see this lesson that the great judgment that will fall upon the nations of the world in the future is the fact that they showed this attitude, bi'ute, they kicked in their sukkahs, even though technically speaking they were in fact exempt. Miyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev U'Mesachek Aleihem. At this point, we're talking about this point in the future when when the Gentiles kick in the one mitzvah, the mitzvah kala, the chance they had to fulfill a mitzvah, and they sort of blew it here, as we say, with their poor attitude. At that point, the Kadosh Baruch Hu sits and laughs at them. Shenemar Yoshev Basam Bashomayim Yitzchak. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Ein Tzchok Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ela Oisa Hayoyim Bilvad. Before we go any further, we have to take note of the markings that we have. We're now encountering a diamond with an aleph also in a diamond to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. This is explained under the Mivneh heading in the outside margin. Memros Shereb Yitzchok Be'inyin Tzchok Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are comments of Rabbi Yitzchok that concern the issue of the laughing of the Almighty. So the first comment of his is that there is no laughter on the part of the Kodesh Baruch Hu except that day of judgment. Ika de masni lahod Rabbi Yitzchok ahod esanya. As you can see, we've squiggle underlined the expression Iko Damasni. This is a common use of the squiggle underline in our marking system, where you have an alternative version of something presented. It often can be in the form of an Iko Diamri or Iboyes Emo or Emo Hochi, all kinds of different presentations of alternatives. We will generally use this mark, this squiggle underline, to highlight it. So at this point, the Gemara is saying that there is another approach to the presentation of Rabbi Yitzchok. As you can see a little bit further down on the page, another diamond where Rabbi Yitzchok makes a similar comment of Ein lo l'kadosh baruch hu tzchok ela oisayon bilvad, but it will be in a different context. Hence, it's presented as a second version. So we also have a long point marking here, the Nekuda Aruka, the Nun that you can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text that's encircled with a vertical dashed line, indicating that all of these lines are dedicated to develop a singular point. So what's the point? So let's read this in the Gemara. Iko demasni lahod Rabbi Yitzchok ahod esanya. There are those that teach Rabbi Yitzchok with regard to the following Tanaic source. Rabbi Yosi Oimer la'osid lavo boyin oivde kechavim umizgairin. In the future, the idol worshippers are going to get together and convert to Judaism. But are we going to accept them at that future point in time? We have a teaching, we have a Tanaic source that says that when it comes to the end of days, and the days of the Moshiach, we are not going to receive, we're not going to accept converts. Likewise, we are not Mekabel Gerim. We were not Mekabel Gerim in the times of King David and King Solomon. The idea behind this being that one is able to join the Jewish people when there is a challenge involved, so to speak. We're not using halachic legal terminology, but we're trying to convey a certain spirit that stands behind the halacha, and that is that if joining the Jewish people grants you a position of power and having the upper hand, and in order to achieve that, one would choose to convert, we say no. We don't accept people to join the ranks of the Jewish people when they're doing it with this sort of vested interest. However, when the Jewish people are down and out, and someone wants to come and join, then there's a chance of his being accepted, even though Al Pidin we attempt to discourage all people who come to convert from converting. And that's based on the information that one can find in Maseches Yevamos. The question then being, how can Rabbi Yossi teach that Lo'asid Lavo, the Goyim, the idol worshippers, are going to come and convert, when we know that L'Yemos HaMashiach, the days of redemption, we don't accept converts? Ela, Shenasu Gerim Gruin. Rather, what Rabbi Yossi is referring to is that the nations of the world will come and become gerim on their own. Gerim grurim is a reference to gerim on their own. Umanichim tefillin b'roshem, tefillin b'zroseim. They will then start donning tefillin on their heads and on their arms. Tzitzis b'vigdeim, and they'll put the fringes, the tzitzis that characterize four-cornered garments, and they'll wear those, mezuzah b'pischeim, and they'll put mezuzahs on their home, their entranceways. In other words, you see a description of Gentiles in the future joining the ranks of the Jewish people by fulfilling all of these different mitzvahs. Kevon Shiroyan Milchemes Goygu Mogog, however, when these Gerim, when these new converts, these self converts, behold the war of Armageddon, Gogu Mogog, Omer Lohen, these each Ger will ask the members of the armies of Gogu Mogog, Alma Bosem, what are you coming for? What are you joining ranks for? Omrim Lo, and the members of this army of Gogu Mogog will say, Al Hashem v'al Mashicho, we're coming to fight the Almighty and His Anointed One, Shnemar. The posuk that indicates this, it says, Loma rok shugoyim uleumim yegu rik v'chulei. V'chol echad menasek mitzvosei v'hoylech. Each one of these gerim, upon hearing that there is the war of Gogu Magog is developing, they say, "Oh, what do we need all of these mitzvahs for?" So each one disconnects the mitzvah from themselves. Shenemar, Ninaska esmos resemo v'chulei. We will detach those things bonded them. This is a reference to their ripping off the tefillin from their heads and the tzitzis from their garments. V'Kodesh Baruch Hu Yoshev U'Mesachek, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu sits and sees all of this and laughs. Shneema Yoshev V'Shamayim Yitzchok. Omer of Yitzchok. Ein lo Kodesh Baruch Hu Zchok Elo Isa Yom Bilvad. And here, once again, we see Rav Yitzchok addressing this scenario of the Goyim who had self-converted, ripping off their mitzvahs, their tefillin and their tzitzis. In the face or in the fear of the war of Gogu Magog, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu sits, sees all of this and laughs. At this point, the Gemara raises a question. You'll notice we've used a long question marking to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara. There's a kuf that's encircled with a dashed vertical line. The Gemara raises is this question about the what Rav Yitzchok claims that there's only one day of laughter, when at the end of this long question marking we will see, after the Gemara says how the day is broken down into quarters, the fourth quarter of the day, if we just skip down toward the end of this long question, you'll notice the expression revios, it's the last quarter of the day, yoshev umesachek im levioson. So we see, and we've dashed underlined the word umesachek, indicating that there is laughter other than the one day, that day of judgment. So now let's go on and read the whole question. Aini, is that so that there's schok only that day alone, the day of judgment? The Omar of Yudo, Omar Rav, Shtemes Reishois Have Hayom. Every day is comprised of 12 hours. When we speak of 12 hours, it's a unit of time with which we break up the day and the night. The day is described as having 12 hours and the nighttime as well. So every day has in it 12 hours. Let's just say the daytime is described as that. Sholosh Rishonos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev Oisik B'Torah. The first 3 hours, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is engaged in the study of Torah. And as we said in our previous shir, the shir for Daf Beis, we indicated that the Gemara here will be mentioning things that have very deep meanings and are presented to the masses in the form of a Talmud in a very hidden fashion. So for our purposes, though, we're going to primarily just translate the Gemara, but we don't want the listener to leave with the feeling that things are to be taken literally and superficially. So we continue. Shnios, the second group of 3 hours, the second quarter of the day, Yoshev Vedon Eskola Olam Kuloi. He sits and judges the entire world. Kevon Shiroyosh in Ischayev Olam Kliya, when he sees that things aren't going so well, that the world deserves Kliya, destruction, elimination, Oymed Mikisei Adin Yoshev Akisei Rachamim, that he then stands up from the seat of justice, of law, of letter of the law, and sits on the seat of mercy. In other words, by sitting and judging the world and going by the book, as they say, the world has no chance of of continuity. Therefore, instead of seeing the world suffer destruction, he opts for the merciful approach. Shlishios, the third quarter of the day, Yoshev Vizon es kol ha'olam kulo mikarnei ra'emim ad beitzikinim. He engages in providing for sustenance for the entire creation, from the carne reim, which is a description of a very large animal, to beitzikinim. Beitzikinim is a very, very small, tiny creature. And that this idea of Yoshev Zon has to do, as we mentioned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu establishes from where every creature will get his sustenance. It's all determined from Shemayim. Revios, the last quarter of the day, Yoshev Umesachik and Yoson, and we've dashed underlined the word Umesachik because this is really the central point of the question. The fourth quarter of every day, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is engaged in Mesachikim Levyosan. This is an extremely difficult phrase to translate. So, in order to avoid any call mistranslation, we'll simply just emphasize the word Mesachik. He's Mesachik with Levyosan, and this is something that takes place every day. Shinemar Levyosan Ze Yotzarte Lesachik Boy. The pasuk indicates that the Levyosan was created for the purpose of Lischok. So the question is asked, how can Rabbi Yitzchok say there's only one day of schok by the Kodesh Baruch Hu when we find every day, the last quarter of the day, he is involved in this thing called schok? Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok comes and resolves these two passages. Im Briyosov Mesachik, together with his creations, together with them, he's engaged in a sense of joy or laughter. That is something characteristic of every day. However, the Al Briyosov, but to laugh at them, Eino Mesachik Elo Oiso Hayom Bilfa, this idea of laughing at them as opposed to laughing with them, this is something that will take place only on the Day of Judgment sometime in the future, alone. Amalei Rav Acho, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, Yoyim Shechorav Beis HaMikdosh Ein Schoik LaKadosh Baruch Hu. From the day of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu no longer experiences Schoik. We have a bracketed section here. If we skip the brackets momentarily, you see the Gemara says Bervios Mayovid, meaning if before the destruction of the temple he was Yoshev Umesachek Bervios, as you can see from the double underline of before the bracketed section, the fourth quarter of the day he was Mesachek with the Levyosan, and now as a result of the Chorban he's no longer engaged in that. So what replaces the Revios, what activity replaces the Schok during that fourth quarter of the day? And that's what the Gemara asks right after the brackets. We also have a note that accompanies these brackets on the inside margin. We've written Hasograyim L'shem Dilug. These brackets are for the purpose of initially skipping the enclosed section. The Acharei Shenikba Shemiyoyim Shirobeis HaMikdash Ein Schok. After we've established that from the point of the destruction of the temple there's no longer this element of schok, of joy, Ma Oisa Kodesh Baruch Hu Bareva Achron Shalom. So what does the Kodesh Baruch Hu do in that fourth quarter of the day? B'soch HaSagrayim HaGemora Mechapeses HaMokor D'Leko Schok Kamei HaKodesh Baruch Hu. Within the bracketed section we are going to try to find from where do we see that after the destruction of the temple there is no longer schok. So now that we've laid out the flow of the Gemara, let's continue straight through. The Gemara asks within the brackets Uminolan Deleko Schok, and from where do we know that that which you just said, that Miyom Shecharav Beis HaMikdash there's no schok? We see here triangles. Triangles are one of our series markings. They are also explained on the side under the Mivneh heading. Attempts to prove that from the day of destruction of the temple, there's no longer laughter on the part of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So here we go. He lema midichtiv. If you want to say that we see this from the following pasuk, Vayikra Hashem Elokim tzvokiz b'mahu lebechi lemispei ulekarcha v'chulei, that on that day Kodesh Baruch Hu summoned crying and eulogizing. Dilma hahu yuma v'sulo. Maybe this idea of crying and eulogizing is characteristic of that day alone, of the day of the destruction, but no more than that. Ela dichtiv. But rather we can see this idea of there's no more schok from the following. Im eshkechech Yerushalayim tishkach yemini tidbak l'sheni l'chiki im lo yezkerechi. The pasuk says that if I would forget Jerusalem, so my tongue would cleave unto my palate, indicating there's no possibility of laughter. So the Gemara says Dilma shichuhu deleka. Maybe what this pasuk indicates is that there is no forgetting of the glory of Jerusalem. However, aval schok mi'aika, but there is schok. In other words, from the pasuk of Im eshkechech Yerushalayim, we cannot rule out that there would be schok. Ela meha, rather from the following pasuk, hechsheisi me'ulam achrish esapek, indicating silence of a permanent nature. Bervias my ovid. Well, once you said that the fourth quarter of the day, at the point of the Churban Abayas, there's no longer schok, so what preoccupies the Kodesh Baruch Hu during the fourth quarter of every day? Answer: Yoshev umalame tinokis shel beis rabban Torah. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is responsible, so to speak, for the education of the young students in their master's homes. As a result of the Kodesh Baruch Hu being involved, so they're able to absorb Torah learning. Shneamar esmi yiradea v'esmi yovin shmua. And we explain, Lami Yuridea, Ulami Yovin Shmua, unto whom is knowledge imparted, and unto whom will they be granted understanding? Answer, Ligmule Mecholov, Ulatiki Mishadayim, to those that have just been weaned away from nursing. In other words, a reference here to the young ones, the little children. So as far as we're concerned, we see from this pasuk and its interpretation that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is the one responsible for the teaching of the Tinoikus Shel Beis Rabban. Well, you're now telling me that as a result of the Churban Abayis, during the fourth quarter of the day, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is the one responsible for their Torah education. What about before this period of time, before the destruction? Umeikara man have migmalo, who taught the children the Tinoikus Shel Beis Rabban, who taught them Torah? So we have here a couple of answers. Ibo yasema mem tes. One say, even though we have an entire word printed out, the custom is on the part of many not to pronounce it. This is the name of an angel that is of a very lofty nature, who the Gemara says in other places bears the name of God in him, but not chas v'shal, not God forbid, to confuse him with some form of some type of deity, God forbid, but rather he's we'll call him a very lofty emissary of the Almighty. Hence, out of respect, we refer to him as Mem Tes. So one approach is that before the Churban Abayis, the Malach Mem Tes was responsible for the Chinuch, the education of the Tinoikus Shel Beis Rabban. V'boy Seima, another approach suggests, Ha V'ha Ovid, that the Kodesh Baruch himself was engaged in two activities prior to the Churban Abayis. He was Yoshev Misachi Im Levyosan, and also was responsible for the Limud Torah of the Tinoikus Shel Beis Rabban. Ubalailo my ovid. A new question is raised here. Once we describe the day as being broken into quarters and we explain what preoccupies the Almighty during each quarter, what about the accounting of the nighttime hours? Ubalailo my ovid. What does HaKodesh Baruch Hu do during the night? So we have here a few approaches, and we've numbered them off as we go along. Number one, Ibo Yesema, Me'ain Yumama. He does at night, similar, Me'ain, similar to what he does during the day. Ibo Yesema, Lo'ichev Akruv Kalshalo, V'shot B'shmune Aser Elef Olamos. This is a very, very mystical line, but it indicates the Kadosh Baruch Hu rides on his kruv, some type of angel, some type of image, and flies in many thousands of worlds that exist. Shenema rechev elokim ribosayim alfei shinon. Al tikri shinon. Don't read the end of the pasuk as shinon. Ela she'einon. That means that are not. So if you go over the pasuk again, the pasuk made a reference to ribosayim elef shinon. Ribosayim is two times 10,000, or simply say 20,000. And then it says ribosayim alfei shinon. Alfei is a reference to a unit of thousands, but since it's in the plural, we can refer to it as two units of 1,000 or 2,000. So the pasuk mentions 2,000 that are missing from 20,000, giving you a number of 18,000, and that's what was mentioned in the second approach here, that he so to speak flies through 18,000 worlds. Third approach, Viboy Sema, Yoshe Vishomea Shiro Mipi Chayas. That during the nighttime, the Kodesh Baruch Hu sits and listens to the Shira, the singing or the poetry of the holy the holy entities that exist in Shemayim. Those are the Chayas. Shinemar, Yoime Mitzava Hashem, Chazdoyu Valaylo, Shiroi Imi. Amar Rabbi Levi, call a poisek midiritera v'osi v'risicha. Anyone who engages, who ceases, who stops, who cuts short his Torah learning, and in the middle of his Torah learning, he interrupts it with common speech, with common discussion, the non-Torah discussion. Ma'achili lo gecholei resamim. He is fed these very hot coals, referred to as gachale resomim, extremely hot coals. Shnemar hakoyfin maluach alei siach v'shosh resomim lachmam. If one looks in the Rabbeinu Hananel, one sees how he explains this pasuk as a reference to the stopping of learning in order to engage in common talk. So if you glance at the lower part of the Rabbeinu Hananel commentary that's found in the outside margin, the Rabbeinu Hananel says, Omer Levi, kol ha-poisei v'diritero v'isei v'diveri sich machinu v'isoich l'arisham sh'nemar ha-koyfim aluach ha-yisiyach shorish ha-rusomim lachmon pirush ha-koyfim v'diritero sh'nitno b'luchos. The word maluach is a reference to the word luach or luchos, or the Torah which was given in the form of the Ten Commandments on the two tablets. So they're kotfim divrei Torah. Kotfim is they cut off. Kotfim has to do with cutting something off. So they cut off of their Torah learning. And the deal umisaskin, the Rabbeinu Hananel goes on to say, umisaskin alei sichos. And they engage in common discussion. Continuing in the Gemara, we have a new geometric form, a bow tie form. In the outside margin, there's a mivneh, a structural note. Shnei l'shoyne shirei shlokish v'inyin isuk terev alayla v'adoy malo. Two approaches of Reish Lakish with regard to the engaging in Torah study at night and that which is related. Omar Reish Lakish, Kola Oisek Vatura Balaila, Kodesh Baruch Hu Moshech of Lavchut Shel Chesed V'Yom. Anyone who engages in Torah study at night, the Kodesh Baruch Hu draws over him this is a figure of speech here, but it's a thread of grace by day. There maybe it's a reference to there's certain kinds of people, when you look upon them, they communicate to you just by looking at them a certain charm or good feeling. That maybe is what's meant by the expression chut shel chesed. And it has nothing to do with glamorous physical looks and appeal, but it's something of a more abstract nature, a feeling, a sense of charm, of kindness. Shenemar yoimum yitzava shem chasdo v'laylo shiro imi. Ma tam yoimum yitzava shem chasdo. Why is it that by day someone has upon them this image of grace? Mishum the b'laylo shiro imi, because at nighttime shiro he is singing to me. Singing to me is a reference to his being oisek b'torah. Iko di Amri, another version, and we call this the Bayes version. You can see in the space in the immediate right hand side of the Gemara, we have a little Bayes that's encircled, and as we mentioned before, this squiggle underlining indicating an alternative version of something. Omar Reish Lakish, Kola Oisek B'Torah B'Lamazeh Hadayim L'Laylo. Anyone who's engaged in Torah study in this world is considered a dark world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshech Alav Chut Shel Chesed B'Olam Habo Hadayim L'Yom. The Kadosh Baruch Hu draws over him this image of grace in the world to come. Notice with our connector marking, we've enabled the reading to be accomplished in a more efficient fashion. Instead of stopping the reading with the expression, we would have read Moshe Cholov Chut Shel Chesed B'Olam Habo, that's incorrect. You have to attach to the expression Olam Habo Hadoyim Elyom Shenemar, and we cite the same pasuk Yoimom Yitzava Hashem Chazdoy V'Chulei etc. Omar of Yitzvah Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Mai Dichtiv Vataaseh Adam kidgei hayam kiremes lo Moshe boy. Lomo nimshulu b'nei Adam kidgei hayam. Why does the pasuk choose to compare man to the fish of the sea? Before we go further, after having heard the question, we encounter a new geometric form, one of our additional series indicators, the house form. You can see also in the outside margin, the Nosei Mivne heading, the topic with structural note, and a little house image featured. Lomo Odom Nimshal Didgei Hayom. Different approaches to explain this, the comparison or the analogy of man to fish. So we continue in the Gemara. Lomo Loch Ma Dogim Shebeyam Kivon Shulun Yeboshim Me'al Mason. Just like the fish of the sea, as soon as they encounter the dry land, they die. Fish, as everyone knows, fish survive only in the water, not on the dry land. Af b'nei Adam, kivon shepurshim b'divrei Torah u'min ha-mitzvos, so too when it comes to mankind, as soon as they depart from the Torah and from the mitzvos, miyad mason. Man has no significant existence when he disconnects from the Torah and the fulfillment of mitzvos. He also ceases to exist. Davar Acher, another approach. Notice we've used this squiggle line again to present an alternative. Ma dogim shabiyam kivan shekodrelem chamu miyad mason. Just like the fish of the sea, as soon as the sun beats down upon them, they, the fish, die. They get dried out and die. Kach b'nei adam kivan shekodrelem chamu. So too man can similarly be victimized by the heat, by the sun. They too can actually suffer death at its hands. There are two approaches to this idea of man being killed by the sun. One approach says that's a reference to this world, and one says it's in the world to come. And now the Gemara explains, and we indicate this with a colon. If the colon is used to indicate that which was said just before will now be elaborated upon. And we have also underlined Iboy Zembo Mazeh and called Aleph, and you can see the next underline which highlights Iboy Zembo Lo'olam Haba, which we call Beis. So the first approach is Iboy Zembo Lo'olam Mazeh, the reference to the sun and its destructive nature upon man can be understood in current terms. Kedir Rabbi Chanina, based on the teaching of Rabbi Chanina, Yomar Rabbi Chanina, Hakol B'Dei Shamayim, Chutz Mitzinu Apachim, all that befalls man is
heavenly ordained, with the exception of things that are generated by tzinim, cold, pachim, heat. Shnemar tzinim pachim b'derech hikesh shomer nafsho yirchak mehem. That when it comes to the ailments induced by cold and heat, one is given the power to have control over that, in the sense that he can avoid it. And that's what this pasuk indicates, that tzinim pachim, the ill effects of the cold and the heat, b'derech ikesh, in the way of the crooked. In other words, someone who doesn't watch himself will fall victim to those things. Shomer nafsho, one who watches himself, who guards himself, yirchak mehem, will know to keep away from them, from the exposure to the heat and the cold. V'boyesemo lo'olam haba, as we mentioned, the idea of the man being compared to the fish, in the sense that just like in the, with regard to fish, the sun can kill them, so to man, this is a reference to a future time, according to the second approach. Kedar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, based on Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish's teaching. Before we go too much further, it's important to note that this is essentially the beginning of a long point which continues down the several lines on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. So the Gemara continues and says, based on Reish Lakish's teaching, we'll understand the idea of the sun with regard to the world to come. The Amar of Shimon Lakish, Ein Gehenim Losid Lavo. According to Reish Lakish, he makes a rather surprising announcement that there is no Gehenim when it comes to the future. Elo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Motzi Chama Min Artiko Makdir. Rather, the Kadosh Baruch Hu extricates the sun from its casing. The casing, we can say, provides a sense of a sort of protection from the ill effects of the sun. If the sun were removed from the protective sheath, then it can wreak damage. So Reish Lakish says that though there is no Gehenim Losid Lavo, nevertheless HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take the sun out of its casing and have it makdir. This is a word we saw at the beginning of today's shiur. He will cause it to beat down intensely. Rishoyim nidonim bo, tzadikim misrapim bo. The same situation will have an opposite effect depending on who one is. The evil will be judged by this, and the righteous will be healed by it. What we've done with our markings now, we've dashed underlined the expression Rishonim Nidonim, and we call this number one. And further down from the top of several lines from the top of Dalet Amud Aleph, you'll notice Tzadikim Misrapim Bo. And as we said earlier, this is part of the point, the long point that we're currently developing. Rishonim Nidonim Bo, the Rishonim, the evil, the wicked, will be judged by this freed sun that was taken out of its protective casing. Tichtiv, the pasuk says, Kihine hayoyim ba boer ketanu vayu kol zedim chol oise risho kash v'lihat oisam hayom abo omar Hashem tzevokos asher lo yazov lohem shoyrush ve'anof. This pasuk mentions a day is going to come which is going to be very be intensely hot, and all of the wicked will be like stubble, and the fire that will catch upon them, and they will experience a judgment from this. The pasuk concludes by saying they will not leave shorash v'anaf. The Gemara explains lo shorash b'olam hazeh, no roots in this world, v'lo anaf l'olam bo, and no branches in the world to come. In other words, when we talk about the destruction of the wicked, we are referring to a total destruction. Tzadikim misrapim bo, the righteous though will experience healing from this sun in the days to come, this sun that's taken out of its casing. I will cause the sun to shine upon you for righteousness and for healing. Not only will they experience healing, but they will experience idun, which we'll call, refer to in a general sense, improvement. Shenemar v'yatzasem ufishtem ke'eglei marbeik. The next piece of Gemara presents another analogy between man and the fish of the sea, Dover Achir. This is also part of a long point, which you can see we've indicated with a nun to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text and a vertical dashed line indicating the length of this point. So another analogy between the about man and fish, ma dogim shebayam kol hagodol mechavero boleas chavero, just like it is the nature of the fish at sea that the larger one consumes, swallows the smaller one, af b'nei adam, so too when it comes to mankind, il mole merosh amahus, if not for the fear that's cast upon society by governments, what would be kol hagodol mechavero boleas es chavero, the strong guy would consume the weak guy. But as a result of established governments and police forces, the weak are offered protection from this. In the when it comes to the fish at the sea, there's no police force, and hence the rule of nature that God created is at play, where the godol is bolea the koton. V'hainu disnan, and with this in mind, we can understand the significance of that which is taught in Maseches Avos, in the Ethics of the Fathers. The following Mishnah appears: Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohenim Omer, have a mispalu b'shloima shel malchus, that it's recommended to pray for the benefit of the ruling kingdom. And when we say ruling kingdom, we're saying even if one is not happy with the form of government, with the ruler that's in power, nevertheless, it's beneficial to pray for his welfare. Shil mole merosh amachos, if not for the fear that the government casts upon the masses, ish esreu chayim bolo, man would consume his friend alive, just like we saw with the fish. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.